Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics, such as...
taking a fucking break.
Hey!
What up, Cabrona?
What's poppin'? Chingona, was good. I'm really, really tired. How are you?
I just woke up like 30 minutes ago.
Same, dude. I feel that in my soul. Happy Thursday for y'all that are listening to this on Thursday. Happy Thursday, y'all. Get through the week, okay?
Yeah, I mean, basically today we're introducing an episode that was recorded a while ago with our friends from Decolores Radio.
Yeah, our friends, our lovely friends. Shout out to Eva, Rafa, and Pat.
Our
Decolores fam.
Favorites.
Love y'all.
Love you.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we're going to be super busy, so I'm moving.
Yeah.
And
you were just telling me about all your container store fun and how much you've been getting done.
Dude, yes, and I'm not even finished packing. Hopefully by today, because I move out tomorrow, Friday. I'm actually all finished packing and ready to go. Dude, I bought a couch. I feel like an adult.
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, this is coming out like a week after you've already moved.
Oh, guys, I'm already moved out.
Yeah, she's already out, hopefully.
Hopefully.
And yeah, so last week you guys heard from Ale. Next week is actually going to be a Patreon episode. So it's kind of a 2-week break that we're taking because we have a lot of things going on.
Yes,
including
oh my God. April 12th in Las Vegas. You will be able to find Maita and Fried Papita because guess what,
we're recording fucking live
at Klexicon. Woo!
Yeah. Oh, it's next week. Okay, so for you guys it's gonna be in like 8 days. When we're going to be in Las Vegas at Klexicon, recording at 1:45 p.m. for those of you that already have your tickets.
Come find your girls.
Yeah. We'll have stickers and maybe a special guest and, you know, we'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can rack up.
Yes. And another fun thing is that we're going to be wearing our Tia Bishi pins from Chrissy. What's goody? I just got them in. I just wanted to tell you right now. We got them.
Ah, sweet. And then yeah, we'll link her Etsy store. She does a bunch of really cool like queer show centered like embroidery stuff. It's so cool. She did like a non-binosaur for Sid.
Yes.
From One Day at a Time. She has really cool stuff, so definitely check out her Etsy store. We're gonna link it.
And I love how gay that is, because Glow has just started embroidery herself. I think she's also like, by this point she's probably bought some plants and she's like doing embroidery, and I'm really into interior design now because I'm washed.
After watching paint Queer Eye?
what is that you said?
Your cabinets blue, man. That's gonna fix your life.
Dude, that's so true. Like, I noticed that right after you said that, I was like, the cabinets are always blue.
They're always a different color. It's not always blue, but yeah, it's always like some sort of vibrant color.
Yeah, really, but that was
that
very
help my apartment, but you know.
Right? You do have blue in your apartment. Blue is not always the warmest color. It's more like the saddest color. Blue makes me sad.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, blue.
Well, you know what? I'm just like, I don't know. I've only been in California like a little over a year, but I've always kind of felt like an ocean person. So I really find peace in being near the ocean. So I really like blue, even though it's not technically blue.
But, oh my God. I love how you went from being landlocked in Texas to being like, I'm an ocean girl.
Bitch. I've always been an ocean bitch. I loved it. I love that shit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I think you told me one time that you're like stan San Diego, and I was like, oh, okay.
That's where I plan to retire.
I love that you're planning your retirement in your 20s. I love that. That's like goals. You know where you want to be when you're 60. You know, it's like,
yeah, it's just I just loved it so much.
Oh, so guys, yeah, remember April 12th, Las Vegas, Klexicon, 1:45. Those are all the details we know, and if we know anything else, we release it on our Gram and Twitter pages.
Yes. I'm actually really excited to put out this Decolores Radio episode because not everybody starts from the beginning when it comes to podcasts, and we gave a lot of our personal backgrounds as people and as podcasters at the beginning of the first few episodes of our podcast. And in this Tecolotes interview, we kind of talk about our upbringing a lot. We talk about our personal lives a lot. And that's like, you know, giving an opportunity to new listeners to learn about us as people, I guess. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah. And I feel like most of, like, we don't necessarily always talk about ourselves because we're not the subject of this. So a lot of the times, the only time we get to speak about, like, our stuff like that in that way, in that context, is on other people's podcasts or on panels. So, yeah, this is kind of cool. You guys get to know us a little bit differently.
If I remember correctly, we still talk about media, so you won't have, you won't completely miss out on your media recommendations fix. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we talk about some stuff.
Oh, we got to. We always do.
It's just really old. Like,
yeah.
Speaking of, I guess before we let the audience go, what have you been watching lately?
Oh my god, dude. I know you've watched it. I hope more people watch it. And I know it's not without its, like...
without its flaws, right?
It's flaws. But Shrill on Hulu is my shit. I love it.
Mm-hmm. It was a bit of a rough start for me personally, as a person that doesn't like looking at straight stuff. But
same.
It ended strong.
it did end strong. And you guys should watch it. I mean, I'm not really into, like, Adi Bryant before this, but after this I am. Like, anything she does or makes, I'm kind of going to be there for it, because this was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, what else have you been watching?
I caught up on Legacies a little last week. That's been kind of good. But I actually very recently got into Proven Innocent, which mm-hmm. is one of those, like, crime, like, lawyer type of shows. Mm-hmm. That, you know, like, kind of a basic show that you would expect, but it's on Fox, and surprisingly, like, the main character, like, lead,
yeah,
is queer. That might be a little bit of a spoiler for people, but yeah, I was really excited lead? About it.
What network is it on?
Fox.
The fuck?
Yeah.
You know what? They've been, like, oddly, like, pro-gay, but then not, you know? Because I just... they had fucking Glee on back in the day. Do you remember?
I
do. That was the gayest shit ever.
I remember, yeah. Now. So I've been watching that, and I've been really liking it. There's a lot of... there's, like, the other leads that are not the lead, but the other leads. There's a black man and there's a black woman, so...
what?
It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, and then the topics that they tackle are really, really great. I don't know. I just think it's a good show so far, if you're into that kind of a serial type of show. So, catch Proven Innocent. It's also on Hulu.
Yeah. And no, I guess one more thing I've been watching that isn't necessarily queer, but just, like, thoughtful and interesting and very, like, let's think about our mental health, oddly enough, is Russian Doll. Like, it really made me think of, like, being existential and, like, what life is and what love is. And, like, it's really interesting. I really fuck with it. And it was very healing, oddly enough, to watch someone die, like, every episode several times.
Oh, shit. Okay. Spoiler alert.
It's been out for a minute, y'all. Just go watch it. It's way better than Groundhog's Day. That's all I have to say. And that's all I will say.
I have the pilot script that I've been wanting to read. So maybe I'll do that right now after this call, because I want to get some writing
done. Read it.
So maybe I'll read that and get inspired to write some scripts. So cool. All right. Well, without further ado, I hope you guys like this episode. If you want to listen to us next week, you'll have to be subscribed to us on Patreon. But we'll be back after that with some Klexicon stuff, probably, because we'll have probably gathered a decent amount of content while we're there, I would imagine.
Yes. So later, Gators. Y'all have fun. Have a happy Thursday.
Yes, and always feel free to reach out at CYC Podcast, Instagram, and Twitter, or our personals.
At Fried Papita on Twitter.
MYTE Panta on Twitter and Instagram.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Tecolotes Radio.
Tecolotes Radio. Hello, welcome to Tecolotes Radio episode blank.
Episode blank.
This is another The Cocotazo, also known as
Little Chicken Nugget.
Woo! Last time we were able to have Richard Villegas from Song Mess Podcast join us, who we love dearly. Can anyone guess who we have with us this time around? Ooh, no, no. The lovely ladies of Cabronas y Chingonas podcast. I'm your host, Eva Arreguin, and with me is my co-host, Rafael Tamayo.
What's poppin'?
And we're officially welcoming our fellow Dallas, used to be Dallas, Latinx podcast friends, the Chingona Maite and the Cabrona Cynthia to the show.
Brup, 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 brup.
Hey, it's lit.
Hey, he did the it was popping, so I had to do it.
I had to
stop for him. Sorry.
Oh my god! Thank you so much for coming, y'all. How's everybody doing?
Good. Jet lagged. I can finally say that. You know.
Are you jet lagged by 2 hours?
Hell yeah. I should be asleep by now.
Shut up!
Because you're like, it's yesterday to you right now, right?
Yeah, y'all are so...
No. It's tomorrow for her.
It's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
I'm like getting confused, even though I know...
Like, it's already 19?
Yeah.
So you're where it used to be.
She's actually Blade Runner. I'm in way far ahead.
Yeah, you guys are in 2018. I'm in 3018, so...
Wow!
Damn.
That's advanced level.
Do we still have rights, though?
That.
I would hope
still,
so.
No, we finally have.
We finally have.
Oh, my God. Jesus. So we actually did an episode before in October of last year as we were getting ready to go to Podcasterio. And unfortunately, we had a little situation, and that little buddy didn't make it out alive. thus, we are here again, welcoming you all back to the show.
Damn, the queers always die.
Stop! Oh, my God. That is not what I was going for, even though that's true.
Wow.
Facts be facts, son.
Wow, we got it way deep real quick. So I'm going to quickly read your bios, and then we can jump into the rest of the interview. Yes, that didn't work. Maite, aka Chingona, is a Los Angeles-based writer who podcasts on the side. Maite is a staff writer and team lead for PopNerdTV.com. Born and raised in Dallas, Texas, she's a staff writer and team... Oh, I already said that. Where she attended the University of North Texas and began this podcast. I get nervous around Maite. She moved to California in 2017 to pursue screenwriting and hopes to one day create the queer and POC TV show of her dreams. Yes. She's also particularly passionate about micheladas and Thai food. Woo!
Hell yeah, I'm ready for it.
Fried Papita, aka Cabrona. Cynthia is a passionate, almost obsessed queer content consumer. When she's not watching queer films, she's eating fried papitas, drinking too much champagne, not poppy, and going to all of the concerts, all of them. Cynthia studied at the University of North Texas and majored in political science. She loves her dog, all dogs really, and pan dulce. Welcome to the show, Cynthia and Maite.
Can I say that those bios like made me want to cry?
Did they?
Why?
Yes.
So are you also hungry? Right?
Tell me hungry. Because I know
you're hungry, just, aren't you?
I gotta. Can we pause recording really quick?
Yeah, cállate!
Tienes un chile atorado right there and right in the nose. Like,
I was still in Dallas? Yeah.
Yes. That hurts me every single day, every second.
Oh my gato! Wow.
You guys need some time, need some space.
Yeah, y'all just don't know. Y'all ain't ready. Y'all don't even understand.
What do we not know?
I ain't gonna explain it because we only got, what, an hour?
We only got one wish. Okay, so before we jump into the interview, we still have something very important we have to do first.
What?
Oh my god, I'm kind of nervous.
I'm gonna ask you all something really private.
Yes, I'm gay.
What?
No, I'm not single.
Oh, damn. Okay, something to give our listeners an insight into your personal energy, into how you are feeling right now. That's right, we're translating your feelings in the best way we know how. Memes. It's time for one shot me mood, the Cocotazo guest edition. Let's hear it, Cynthia.
So am I actually allowed to play my
you can
yes
look
yes,
okay please. So mine is a bug that it's a bug's life, and it's a classic song. Let me play it for you guys.
Oh my god.
Hey, that sound. Hey. Oh.
And what's happening in the video?
So the bug is dancing in cue to the bed squeaking from side to side. It is a green bug with very long legs.
It looks like spaghetti noodles.
It looks like spaghetti noodles. And it's just like, and they called her Isabella, and she came in clutch, y'all. Oh, and wow. She's just out in the wilderness getting it to, who is that actually? Yin Yang Twins?
No, that's not Yin Yang.
I don't know.
I don't think it's Yin Yang. I think it's just one of those like, that's like a little somebody. Or...
I feel like a fake Southern hip hop fan.
Same,
yeah.
Because I'm like, I used to just call it the bed squeaking song.
Right. Maite, do you have a me mood for us?
I do have one.
Let's hear it.
So I'm permanently, every single day, in different senses. Uh-huh. I'm the dude that keeps misidentifying this damn butterfly.
Which one is that?
He's like, is this whatever? And it's never the fucking butterfly. So, for example, like, Twitter...
Is this a
social life? You know?
Yes.
Alcohol. Is this a personality?
I like the one that was like men of color dating. Is this a white woman? Is this freedom? And I was like, yikes! I like that one a lot. That one's really great.
Yeah.
Good choice. Did we figure out the name of the person?
Yeah, it's Trillville.
Trillville.
Of the Crunk era.
Yes, oh, yeah. Early 2000s, Lil John's people.
Absolutely.
How about you?
All right. So now we can jump into the interview and get to know you all a little bit better.
Wait, we're not going to hear your me mood?
No, we're just giving y'all's. Because we always have me moods. Do you have a me mood today? I don't really have a me mood.
Oh, so...
Mine is probably all the fucking rest in peace Drake memes, but this is so old now.
Well, yeah, but after Pat... mentioned, you know, the cheers that we had earlier. I was the little kid. I think it's a redo. The one that the little boy that says, "I like turtles."
You like that one?
Yeah.
And are you lit right now?
I am, and I feel like him.
Say
very
it again.
Much. I like turtles.
Oh, that's so cute. I never heard you say that.
That's me.
Do it one more time. One more time.
All right, one more time.
Wait, say it. And
I like turtles.
I like turtles.
Third time's a charm. We had to do it. So I'm going to let me mood in there today because that was beautiful. And now we can really jump into the interview. So you, both of you had kind of similar paths, it seems like, although very different lives because you both like went to UNT and then you ended up becoming friends and all that. But how was it for you both growing up in Dallas?
Boy, well, you know, as you, I don't know. Do you want to do like the negative news first?
Because negative news.
Whatever you feel is right. Whatever you're comfortable with.
I mean, I don't know. Do you want to go first?
My childhood was bright and beautiful and simple and clean.
Get out.
No, I mean, it was a mixture of like the hood slash being like the nerd in the hood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, nice. Like, so can we play some gunshots and you tell us what caliber gun it is?
I probably could. Yeah, yeah, honestly. Yeah.
Save that for the end of the interview. Yeah,
honestly, yes. Lovely. Like, you know, growing up, you know, hearing gunshots every other weekend. Like, you know, murder slash making good grades is like my childhood. I mean, I didn't murder anyone. No, I'm not confessing to a crime.
That's fine if you did. We still should hear your story.
Nicolottas ain't no snitches. We got you.
We ain't gonna tell nobody.
Pinky promise?
Yes, absolutely.
But you met them.
I grew up near the hood.
Mm-hmm. Hood adjacent.
Yeah, hood adjacent. and I don't know. My childhood wasn't amazing. But,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you want to know?
I guess I'm just like, for you growing up in Dallas, how does Dallas affect your, who you are? It's kind of how I start, and then we can jump into the real nitty gritty.
The nitty gritty.
I'll say this. So when I look at y'all, I think, yes, I think of Dallas and I think of North Texas, but I think also of people that are doing things or representatives of something that isn't really associated with Dallas or North Texas. So y'all have this like unique quality to each of you. So if I'm like a listener or if I'm someone that doesn't know you at all, how do you explain that? Like, yeah, I'm from Dallas and yeah, you know, I'm my experiences are North Texas, but this is the side of me that kind of explains how I went through that and am who I am now.
Now,
I guess like being queer and like North Texas and growing up being like a queer brown girl in the hood and also being a nerd like kind of made me look for like a space to create. Because like in Dallas, I didn't have time to like create a space. Like I had to work and go to school, and that means all of my free time was to studying and to work. So I didn't really have like a space, like a queer space for me, period, my whole life. Like I felt comfortable everywhere I went, but that's because when you're queer, you're able to like code switch literally every day of your life, no matter where you are. And I just wanted to create a place and like that I didn't have as a child. Like I didn't have a queer corner to hide in or a queer place to be in. Like all my friends are straight, even to this day. So I guess that's how it affected me now. Other than Maita's like my only queer friend, to be honest. How did you, I tell her that?
Or can you, do you know of the moment or do you know what it was that said, you know, fuck that. I'm going to make my own corner. I'm going to make my own space because it isn't out here.
It's necessary.
Well, like what really inspired me is I was listening to like a lot of like podcasts and they were all queer. Like I was listening to Latinos for Lunch and Radio Menea and I was like, what the fuck? Like, I want more queer people doing things. And I said, fuck it. Like, let's do it. Like, let's just be those queer people who talk about things. And me and Maita were already doing that on Twitter. So why not?
And you two met via Twitter, correct?
Yes.
Tell us more about that.
So I don't know why, but I guess homegirl followed me. And I was like...
In like 2010.
Yeah.
Damn, way back. Ago,
back when like I had a very strong worded Twitter name back in the day.
Do you want to share it with us? I'm so curious.
It was queer bait.
I love. That's how I found her.
I mean, it worked.
So she followed me and like whatever, you know, Twitter, especially back in the early 2010s or whatever, like everybody just talked to everybody and it wasn't what it was today. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whatever. We would talk about gay stuff all the fucking time. And it got to a point where we were just like ahead of the fucking curve. Like, we knew what was going to come out before it came out and what was the best. And, like, there was articles coming out about, like, oh, these are the best queer films. And we were like, okay, they forgot, like, 10 essential films.
Wow.
So that's when we were like, we should, like, find... For me, in my head, I'm just like, yeah, I should write my own article. But she's like, we should do a podcast. I'm like, okay, podcast it is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's kind of what happened there.
And then, so that's how y'all met. And in reference to Rafa's question prior, how were you affected by that?
By Dallas?
Yes, by Dallas and getting to where you are now.
I don't know. I think I actually was talking to Pat about this pretty recently, but I never felt super comfortable being myself in Dallas, if I'm being honest. I feel like now, in the recent years, I feel kind of proud of being Texan, but that's a recent thing.
Right, like, I feel that.
I never really felt pride in it until very, very recently. And I'm really glad... And the changes that Dallas is going through, like I really wanted to get better and to become a place that I would have felt comfortable with, but like now I'm not here.
Right.
But you're still part of that. Like y'all are still part of that. That's why I ask, because I feel like, you know, even with your experiences, you know, even just as close but far enough, like Denton and the stuff that you're doing now and the things that you're making room for, you know, it's all part of something that didn't really exist here for someone like you to feel comfortable coming into your own.
Right.
So like.
And now Maita's in right outside LA, technically LA.
LA County, okay.
Yes, LA County.
You can't even tell when you're out there.
So she left right around the Podcasterio time, basically, right before. She left Dallas, but it's going well for you there?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, a slow start. It always is from what I hear. But I don't know. I don't think I would want to live anywhere else. It's just such a great place.
Right. So then you two met via twitter.com and the then tweeters. When was the first time y'all actually met
7 years later?
Golly. Yeah.
Did we meet at Pride?
We met at Pride in 2016. Cute.
If you met anywhere else, it would be illegal.
It would be illegal to meet anywhere except Pride.
Right.
Yeah.
But, oh my God. That was an interesting...
That was an accident, too. We didn't mean to.
We just saw each other.
That's great. Yeah. Can this be a movie?
Like, we knew each other via Twitter, and then I was like, that's Maita.
We were planning on meeting soon for the podcast stuff, but then we were like... Like, I was walking by Havana.
No, this is way before podcasts. This is like, this is way before. This is like 2016, and we didn't do the podcast until 2017.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, 2016.
Get it together, you guys. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
You just got your iPhone. Remember, we were talking about iPhones.
Oh, shit, you're right. Okay.
Yeah.
The iPhone is how bubble. I navigate through time.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So then you met in real life at Pride, and you clicked right away.
Oh, we're super drunk.
We're wasted. I don't remember any of it.
Like, that works. Like, that's real.
I was like blackout drunk. It was good. We were just doing shots when we met each other.
We did like 3 shots.
I was already 7 deep by the time she met me.
She was twerking.
Oh my.
Yeah, Pride is lit. Like, and I did 7 shots in like an hour, and then you came in. We did 3 more.
Holy shit!
Yeah. I'm so glad you're here right now. Because I would
she
be
dead. 7 shots
in an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that she remembers that, though, I don't even remember.
Look, she's smiling.
I keep track.
She's cute. She's thriving. Good Lord. So I love your little meeting story. How was it for you to navigate queerness in Latinidad? Because that's something that's obviously very a lot, and it's very different from person to person. How did you all best navigate that, and how are you still navigating that?
You should hear the good story first. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't know. My God. Is it good?
But both are good because they're real.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's not like good. It's just kind of like it took me a long time to get to where I was comfortable and okay. Mm-hmm. To even like, I don't know, tell my family. I don't know. Getting to this place, it was a long journey. I feel like every queer really goes through. Not every queer. I'm not going to say that. My experience is that it was really, really difficult at first to like grasp, just because like we're dealing with Catholicism. We're dealing mm-hmm. with like you have to be the perfect Mexican daughter bullshit, and that like stereotype that you have to take care of your family, and they're putting all these like stereotypes and fucking what are they like. Tropes on you mm-hmm. that you have to live and exist in within your life, like femininity. Like even to this day, like I'll code switch for my mom because it makes her happy, and it doesn't really bother me because I don't give a fuck about gender. Mm-hmm. So I'll do it, but like if I'm comfortable with it. But when I was little, it wasn't like I'm comfortable wearing a dress all the time, and I don't feel like living under these fucking gender norms that every like Latino family puts on you. You know, like right. I wanted to learn how to fix the car, but because I was a girl, I wasn't allowed to. You know, I wanted to learn how to like take care of myself, but because I was a girl, like the men in my Latino family are not quite as exceptional as the women. Mm-hmm. Shocking. Toxic masculinity. What? In a Latino family? Machismo?
No way.
Shocking. No, but like there are a lot of norms still put on me. Like even when I came out, they were like, well, as long as you're still going to give us grandchildren, which
Good Lord.
I thought, what? This isn't about you.
Uh-huh.
But okay, sure. But trying to exist within those like gender roles that they're placed on you is total bullshit, and you still have to go through it. And anywhere I go, Latino men treat me a certain way that I fucking hate. Mm-hmm. Like, well, not Rafa.
That's why we like him.
Thank you. I try to be.
You're the exception. But yeah.
You're like, everyone's exception.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Okay. But, yeah. I don't say that shit for nobody.
But yeah, so, I mean, the women were good, but yeah, there's a lot of people in my family still that place these, like, fucking norms on me that, fuck that.
And you knew from a young age and were able to get comfortable with it, or you got more comfortable once you told your family?
I got comfortable maybe in my 20s in college, probably when I met the girlfriend. I got really accepting of myself. But before that, it was really hard. Mm-hmm. I really went through it in high school and in middle school. And I knew when I was 7.
Mm.
So
early on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I always love knowing. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love knowing when people knew.
I was 7.
Don't do that, my thing.
You haven't even talked about, like, how awesome your mom is about it, though.
My mom is probably, like, I guess because it's normal to me. Like, I'm like, oh, our moms are cool. But my mom has always been, like, super accepting because she's always been surrounded by, like, the queer community. Mm-hmm. She didn't talk about what my grandma did, but my grandma was surrounded by a lot of trans people in Mexico because of what she did. She was a seamstress for a certain community in Mexico, and my mom was exposed to like trans people and queer people as whole life. So she didn't tell me that till later, but she was always accepting of queer people. She's always worked for queer older people, and she taught us early on that people are just people, and that like we should accept anyone if mm-hmm. they're good people. It doesn't matter race, ethnicity. So she's the cool one. But
Yeah, I loved hearing your mom on y'all's episode. I was like, oh my God. And the way she just grasped onto everything and was so willing to keep learning, because it's so rare, because especially in the Latino community, you become this traditional this because it's so deeply rooted in Catholicism that they don't want to leave that norm of like, you should have husband, you should have kids, and they should take care of you. And so hearing your mom is like honestly inspiring, and it's really cool to see that you had that rooted for you in your life, whereas there's obviously a lot of different stories that don't go as nicely.
She's never believed in like any kind of cultural societal norm that Latina is put on her ever, mm-hmm. because she didn't have that kind of experience. Like, you know, everyone else has like a normal mom dad situation, and they live in one house their whole life.
Is extraordinary.
Hers is life is crazy. Like, mm-hmm. she lived in 15 different places by the time she was 15, and there was a revolving door of men. And it was a wild life to live in which she was raised. So she just understood people are people very early on. That there's all that societal bullshit is just put on you.
Right.
That humans are just humans.
Yeah, that's so real. And Maite, how was it for you?
That's a good question.
If you care to share.
Yeah. My mom was like you said, like we were just talking about, like, she subscribed a lot more to these norms. She mm-hmm. was like man and a woman, and she was very like, even though she wasn't like exactly at church every weekend, but she was just like, you gotta do these things.
It's still so deeply embedded, yeah, even if you're not.
Your confirmación, mm-hmm. I had to do all of that shit.
You knew by that time, so you were probably uncomfortable.
Well, the thing is, I didn't know until I was like 14.
Okay,
I didn't know until very late, because like my family, and I wouldn't say that they're like outwardly like, oh, let's kill gay people. Like, they're not that homophobic, but they're not into that shit. Like, they make fun of it to this day. So that's the mentality that I grew up in. And that's the mentality that I even didn't fight too much until I realized that I was. Mm-hmm. Like, I truly fear, like, if I hadn't turned out to be gay, like, I could have been a homophobe, like, honestly.
Because mm-hmm. of what you're surrounded by, because it's seen as norm.
That was my environment. Like, right. So she just wasn't happy about it. Especially when, like, I think she started to suspect in high school, and she, like, really, like, took it bad. But she, like, blocked it out. You know how parents are. Like, if they don't want to see something bad in you, they won't see it. Mm. So then I came out to her the day that gay marriage was legalized. Mm. And by then I was already, like, in my
20s. Yeah, what was it, 2014?
Something like that, yeah. So it was, like,
2015.
Yeah, not too long ago.
Yeah, something like 3 years ago. And by that point I'd moved out, you know what I mean? Like, she hadn't seen me with a guy in like 100 years. Like, she I think she got the clue, you know, but she was still upset. But she did tell me, like, and this is a mom, like one of those moms that does not say nice things to me
ever. Lot of Latina moms,
yeah, so it was like the most shocking thing ever. She did say, like, I still love you. Mm. And like, she hadn't said that even on a regular day.
Wow.
So it was pretty intense.
You got like a double bonus there.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa.
I was like shook.
You love me? What is this thing?
I just thought you were like gonna not hate me, maybe, but no.
That's like a big deal. That like all these things are so normal in Latino communities. I know. I don't mean to, I'm like not trying to put my family's business out there, but like I remember my sister saying, like, Mom didn't used to say I love you like she does now. And I was like, what the fuck? Because that was normal for my oldest siblings. But like for me and my mom were like, I love, like we say it so often now that I'm like, whoa, I can't imagine not having that. But because we're not taught that sweet, loving affection, we're shown it in different ways.
I think part of that is, you know, from the weaving of like the religion and the cultural identity of what being Mexican or Latinx represents, mm-hmm. makes that really difficult. But you know, like when you talk about, you know, the your story, Maite, and like, you know, everyone has situations that they kind of identify with in relation to the way, you know, y'all are sharing your story. But like, how do you feel like it was more difficult trying to go through that within like the Latinidad or the like your cultural identity of it, or more like the location of being in Dallas? Because I know like there's people that I know that are a generation or two behind me that everyone knew that they were like, one in particular, everybody knew that this person was gay. This person knew that he was gay, and everyone else knew. But because the family couldn't go through that shame, this person ended up like having a family, ended up marrying a woman and having children, knowing that that's not who they were or what they wanted to be or what they, you know, what they wanted to live. And so, like, the, I guess the fear of that shame was so overpowered, like, overpowering on that person's life. Like, it, you know, it was impossible for this person to break through the cultural thing of, like, you know, being who they are. So
they succumbed to the pressure and didn't.
People who do that now.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and it hasn't gone away.
No.
It's just like people more accepting, maybe a little bit, to a certain degree, even though we have like Donald Trump as president, et cetera. so
yeah. I don't tell my, like, only my mom and my brothers know that I'm gay. Like, nobody else does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you don't think you'll ever share.
I don't think I would mind sharing, but I think it would bring shame on my mom. Mm. And I just can't do that. I can't make that choice for her.
Right.
So.
Damn. Well, thank you for sharing that. That shit's, like, really hard. And I think that's, I love y'all as a duo because you are the complexities of this, right? You're very, one is very supportive and all the things you could dream of. And the other's the exact opposite, right? Almost. Where it's just like, no, this is real. Or I remember at Podcasterio when they had, they all discussed their families. And you were still one of the only ones that was like, no, I can't really talk about it that much. And I think me and you chatted about it afterwards. And you were like, I felt kind of weird about that. And I was like, no, that's why you're so important up there. Because mm-hmm. there's so many fucking people for like real. You. And they don't even get the chance to have a platform where they can share that. But you're representative of so much more. Yeah. Whether you're comfortable with it or not, or even making yourself vulnerable and sharing that with us is such a big deal. Because I know we have so many queer listeners and we don't give them enough spotlight on our fucking show. And so, like, having y'all here is a big deal. And your work is such a big deal.
The empower, like, it would be impossible to measure the empowerment of, like, sharing stories like that. Like, mm-hmm. honestly, because, like, we all know, and like I was saying, we have friends, family who, like, you know, got kicked out, got disowned, don't mm-hmm. talk to anymore, outcast, had to move away, or for whatever reason, like, weren't able to just live their fucking life.
Right.
Like, what's the problem? And so, you know, the realization that, you know, yes, everyone is a human being, everyone is a person, and the way that they identify and live their lives is completely up to them and should not be, like, shamed or for, you know, or whatever for any reason, like, is something that we're still dealing with in a way that's like, it's 2018, like, we are evolving as a society. Why aren't we understanding of our family? And
well, like, Latinos, it's like that really, really strong cultural impact on us. It's like it makes us feel as if we have to pick between ourselves and our family, and that's like a really hard thing to ask
because
of anyone.
Because it's so intertwined, we're not even supposed to have ourselves outside.
I mean,
of
as
family,
Latinas, you're supposed to take care of your family, like, so everything you do is supposed to be for your family. And us, it's like it feels like we don't want to reject our own family, so it's kind of like a, you're kind of stuck between making people feel like you rejected them and their way of life, like it's not good enough, but it's like, no, like, this is just who we are as humans, and it doesn't mean we reject that, y'all, or our family, or our culture, or our identity. All those things are still in us. They are mm-hmm. part of us, and being queer, is, me and Maite believe, is just one of the many things that make us us. It's not the only thing.
Right.
But
for sure.
Yeah, we definitely amp it up for the podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But there's other beautiful complexities to you all, of course. So then let's get into the main thing you all talk about on your show, which is both Latinx and queer media representation, as well as just people of color. Mm-hmm. Basically, marginalized communities, is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Media representation. So I love media representation. I'm obsessed with it. So your show is like a beautiful piece of pie that everybody needs. And I love it because I literally often can't even listen because I'm like, oh God, I haven't watched that yet. But it's so vital. So share with us a little bit more about why you all did this. I know our listeners know a lot about how we feel about media representation in general, but how you all decided on this and maybe some of your best episodes or proudest moments.
For sure. Well, when we started out, we had different reasons for starting out. For me, I wanted to highlight good representation, and I wanted to highlight, you know, like people that were doing good stuff and bring out some of the things out of the woodworks. I think Cynthia was more on the side of like wanting to have our voices out there, which is also incredibly necessary. Like I looked before we started our podcast, I looked, I'm like, any queer Latinas talking about any media?
Nothing. None. Wow. None. We don't exist except us. I mean, now.
Maybe now.
I think there are more people doing it. Like
there's Radio Mena, they do music.
They do music.
Mm-hmm. So it's not really, I mean, I guess it's kind of media, but they don't talk about queer media all the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's just, there.
This thing that we did is just something that needed to be done, because I think queer people are so thirsty for anything queer that they're like, they'll latch onto literally anything. And that's what we did. Like, we just made something because I know that there's a demand for it, because it does not exist. We're definitely ignored by like shit, everything. Mm. So I wanted to create a space where we could all come together and talk about the things that we love to watch and see ourselves being represented, because it did not exist. And I am obsessed with queer media, and I know that I'm not the only one, because you so desperately want to see yourself as normal.
The reflections.
Yeah, and I wanted to see myself as normal, and I'm always looking for that, because being in Texas and being queer isn't always, you don't always feel normal. Mm-hmm. You know, Texas, you know, I'm a little queer Latina from the hood, like, those are a lot of hyphens there, and so I'm definitely always looking for someone to just, like, I just want to be carefree for about an hour or so, and kind of escape living in Texas and escape living, I don't know, having a code switch all the time. It's bullshit. So I just created a safe space where I could be as gay and as fucking politically incorrect as I needed to be.
So.
It's great in the editing room.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we keep curse. Yeah, I'm like, we keep curse words, so you're fine here. But for you, it would be more difficult.
Well, no, we swear a lot. I'm just really drunk. Fine. I'm just really drunk.
You are not drunk. Oh,
my God. I am mad drunk in those episodes.
I was like,
No, I'm drinking water.
Your episodes. In our episodes,
I'm mad drunk. I was going to pour up. I thought we were
going to
go for it.
Yeah, let's do it. Take a shot.
Wow. What a shot. You guys, delicious. Ding. Yeah. Wow.
Oh, man.
Where were we? Now I'm lost.
We was drinking.
Did you have something to add on to that?
No, I was trying to think of where we were at.
Jesus, like, this never happens to us. Like, do you see what you did?
Like, why did we make it?
Oh, yes. Why did you do it?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we're like trying to create a space. I eventually want to get to a point, and I know this might be the long, like super long term goal, but I eventually want to get to a place where we can be, even like people, creatives can look at us and listen to our show and be like, these are the things that need to be done better. And that would be a really amazing place to get to.
I feel
like
that.
Real cultural criticism from people who they are supposed to be thinking about, like, you know, they keep talking about how like Coco was reviewed by people who weren't like POC and Latinx. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, same, like same as
that
fuck.
That have no tie to it.
Yeah. It's like same as fuck. Like, why don't you just listen to the people who are actually doing it? Like,
right. And the great thing is that like, we don't all have the same opinions. We have different opinions from Latinos Who Lunch completely.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's still, at least it's coming from a Latino perspective.
Yes. It's still valid because it's ours and we've lived something similar.
We're like the queer politically incorrect GLAD. Like not queer. We're like the like ghetto hood Latinas.
You're really not at all.
I don't know what you say. That's so much.
I don't know. I feel like bad. I am problematic as fuck.
I think we all are problematic as
Facts.
Fuck.
I think we're all
but
mad. That's all.
I'm just mad, maybe.
Because there's different ways. People now use politically correct as one of those like words to just say like they can be homophobic or they can be whatever. And so that's
yeah,
where I'm like,
that.
No, exactly. But I see that as like Trumpites or whatever, Trumpians or whatever the fuck you want to call them.
Douchebags is what they're called.
Yes, you're right. That's putting it nicely.
I like that one better.
but really, like, those are the people that are like, fuck political correctness. And I'm like, no, fuck you. Like, what are you talking about?
They're
that's not even a big deal, but they make it seem so huge. And so it's like a weird, it's become like a weird trigger term that people just like.
Oh, my bad. I didn't mean to trigger y'all.
No, not triggering. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is.
Yeah,
where it's just
I know
like,
what you mean.
It's just like a hot button.
It's a buzzword.
Dog
whistle.
Yeah,
it's a dog whistle.
It's sensationalized now.
Right. And so people are like very pro being anti that. And I'm like, why? Okay.
People that can't be politically correct and still be funny. Because most of the time it's referring to comedy. Like, you can't be funny without being politically incorrect.
Right.
If you can't be, you're not a comedian.
Yes,
like,
that's how I feel. Because I think for so long, and we've talked about this a lot, where like comedy, obviously. So now we can jump into media representation in general. But like, for where we are now, half of the comedy and shit we grew up on is like, hell so cool. No.
Even like not even grew up on, like high school stuff and yeah, like no, call, for some sure. college stuff.
Definitely. Absolutely. God, it's bad. It's very real. But that's all how we got to the point we are now, where all that shit's normalized and we think it's funny. We think it's okay. And we think, you know, just making fun of these people is what's norm. And that's why it's so hard to combat the shit the douchebag is feeding them, right? Because they're okay with that, and that's what they see as normal. So what are some of your favorite pieces of media that you've seen and felt represented by recently?
Oh shit, you want to go?
I was gonna say, like, how recent?
Like in the last year.
In the last year.
Oh, I have a bunch.
I really like The Bold Type. I wouldn't say that I feel represented in it, but I think it does a really good job of representing.
What is that?
It has
one?
Has an openly queer Muslim woman in it, and like a biracial woman who is one of the main leads, who is figuring out her like sexual identity and at a later, like in her 20s, you know. So it's like a good kind of feminism. I don't know. Nice. I like that particular feminism.
Mm-hmm. I recently saw The Miseducation of Cameron Post. It's not quite out.
It's not out yet, by the way. It's not out in theaters.
Damn,
yet.
You got the plug.
Hey, shout out to the girlfriend. No, it was actually really cool. It's about you guys ever seen But I'm a Cheerleader? It was about a conversion camp.
How funny.
Yeah, but like this one was better than that one because this one was diverse.
The book is out. You guys can read the book.
There's a Native American person. There's a biracial person and. I don't know. I really fuck with this. The main lead is very comfortable in her sexual identity, and they keep trying to convince her she's not, and she's like, fuck y'all.
What other ones? What about Latino pieces? Because there's not
many. One day at a time.
Yeah.
One day at a time.
Forever.
I mean, it wasn't in the last year. Watch
that. I mean, season 2 came out this year. Yeah, season 2.
Yeah, definitely. I love season, especially season 1, where she's like figuring it all out because same.
Yeah.
Like she's going through the damn motions and she's afraid to talk about it. Like, yeah, Elena was like the best.
Aww.
Queer daughters, queer mothers. No. Straight moms. What else?
I feel like there's other Latinx shows that we've discussed and now we're freezing.
We're like blanking. Brooklyn Nine-Nine does an okay job. Right now, I know Stephanie Beatriz needs to. Lisa, get rid of that shirt, but
bruh, I saw that and I'm sad because we didn't talk about it.
I actually met her that day.
Shut up, was she wearing it?
She was wearing that shirt. Yeah,
sorry.
And I was like,
the tea, honey. I would have been like, bitch, you better run.
I was really twisted up because,
like, how did you feel? Did honestly, you even care?
I did. I was like, why we got a co-op, but
it's very annoying. Mm-hmm. Where I want to talk about it just for a second here. And it's probably old news by now. But basically, she wore a shirt that says, I'm rooting for everybody Latino. Which, if you know anything about anything, you know that Issa Rae said that at the Oscars.
Emmy Globes?
Golden Globes. Globes sounds right. So she said it in an interview when they asked her, like, who are you rooting for? She's like, well, I'm rooting for everybody black, which is iconic. Latinos especially don't know when to shut the hell up and stop taking things from the black culture and community. We always do that and it's irritating as hell. And so that's kind of hilarious that you saw it live.
Yeah, it was at Klexicon.
I saw that, but I didn't say
anything.
And
then I heard that it was made by a super white Latina.
Of course.
I was like, of course you did that.
What, the shirt?
Yes.
Oh,
it was created by
I didn't know that they were selling that like mass produced. I thought she got it like custom or something.
I think that's what I heard. I could be wrong, but I believe.
She could have literally just worn I'm Reading for Everyone Black and it would have been the like, okay,
that
cool.
That would have been cool. Great, especially for
right,
that panel.
But then we have anti-blackness in our community. So did she really
fit?
You know what I mean? Like, is she really going
to
wear that?
You can still wear it though. She and it still applies to Latinos, but you don't have to co-op in anything. You can literally just wear that shirt and it's like,
gotta steal it and pretend that they made something brilliant. Anyway, so go on, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Sorry.
So she only wore it for that panel because I saw her a couple times that day. But
this
panel was queer women of color in the media or something like that.
Or something like that.
I can't remember the exact title.
Whatever that is.
Whatever they are. So she only wore it. I remember specifically, like, I was like going to another one of her panels later and I was like, she's not wearing the same outfit. So what's the tea?
She changed it there.
She changed it. Yeah, that same day.
Someone probably called her out.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's a queer women of color panel. I feel like another I feel like a black woman would call her out.
Yeah. You think?
She should
have. They didn't. And honestly, like, a couple of things she said during that panel, I didn't love.
Oh, gosh.
They weren't, like, super problematic or anything. I was just kind of like, there's gray areas there. But it was a really, I don't know. I was just kind of depressed during that whole panel because it was just, like, a lot of POC pain. That's what I like to call it. It was just like, oh, God, we're all just complaining and not, like, celebrating.
I mean, KlexiCon was created because of queer pain, so...
Gotta touch on it a little bit.
Yeah, but we're still meant to be a celebration of the fandom.
Yeah, well, there you go. No, I'm not saying that it should focus on that. I'm just saying, dude.
But why was it only the women?
Yeah, like, that's one of those, like, it's triggering for our community. It's like,
but I went to a lot of panels, and the ones that were about, like, more white shows or more white topics were nothing but celebration, nothing but fun.
And that's true in just general media beyond media, is with people of color, anything.
Yeah.
It always becomes about the sad sob story, or you only see the slavery films, or you only see the immigration films,
or the hood films.
Yes, it's literally the worst of what we go through, and it gets exhausting because you do want to be celebrated. And so that's why something like Insecure is really refreshing, because you see, like, the fun, lighthearted friendship side of the bullshit. So that's very real. Not, you know, just for the any marginalized community in general.
To be able to have fun instead of just, like, suffering all the fucking time.
Right. Yeah, I don't need to see a shooting every fucking, like, show. That's why I probably don't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
It's the same plot.
TV, okay?
It's the same plot.
I love
No,
TV
for
too.
What I watch. You don't watch the same things I watch, so it's okay.
Oh, I'm so fucking sorry.
You watch happy things.
This is why y'all are a good combo, because you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, we're over, yeah.
So do we want to talk about Vida? This is a new queer show Latinx ran.
Queer and Latinx ran.
All Latinx writers.
Only one
very
man.
White Latinx, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
I would not.
And I personally don't identify with many characters.
So I feel weird about the show. My only thing is that, like, I feel like a lot of the slang is, like, overdone.
Yes, the dialogue is cheesy.
Yeah, like, friqueando. Like, I like that. I start saying that now, though, because that's funny.
You like talking shit, but you're using it.
Friqueando. No, it's just because, like, I feel like when I speak Spanish, it's more natural to say, like, a sentence or a phrase in Spanish. Something that can't be translated is what you say in Spanish. Or, like, you know, you say aguacate instead of avocado. See how hard that was? Avocado. See? It's not natural to me.
Right, but it felt...
Aguacate.
But even sometimes they were like, pero like, girl.
I wish the listeners could have seen your face, because, like, your face explained it completely.
Yeah, it,
like,
did.
You see your face and you know what you're talking about.
It's real.
It's like, friqueando. Like, you don't have to put a Spanglish turn in every sentence.
That's like, what... Because there's some where they're like, pero like, and I was like, bruh. Like, sometimes that comes out, but, like, y'all are forcing it right here.
There's, like, a whole phrase usually, but they literally just stick one in every sentence, and it's like...
It feels funny.
It seems out of place in the dialogue just feels unnatural. But again, this is not my lived experience. I'm not a Latina person from LA, and I don't know how that is, but, like, for my own, and it's not always going to be what you need to see, you know, like, we can't expect one experience.
Well, and that's the thing that you said earlier, where it was like, you want to grasp onto anything because it has people like you. And so you're like, I want this. And then I've discussed with Maite quite a bit that I was like, I don't relate to any of this shit. Like, at all. Even the brownest girl on the show, I'm like, I'm trying to relate to her, but I don't feel that either, because they give her all those lines.
Yeah, but she's like,
I'm radical.
She's like, you know, we hear spray painting things, and I'm like, wait, brown people aren't allowed to do that. Like, did the writers...
Not in the daylight with your face
but
showing,
girl. But see, that's
girl.
How you know... That's how you know what color the skin of the writers are writing, because any brown person literally, like... causing damage to property, you're getting arrested like on the spot. Like, have y'all not actually broken the law? I have questions, okay? Because let me tell you, you won't get arrested or shot real fast.
Well, and that's the thing that's beautiful about discussing media in general, is the criticism. And I think a lot of times we just consume, and we don't criticize, and we like to do a lot of
It's constructive. It's just kind of, we're not dismantling it. We're just saying, hey, is this, you know, check it.
But we need that, because...
Oh, absolutely.
Everyone needs to get checked.
Yeah, of course.
And I think we especially need that, because Latinos are the number one consumers of buying a movie ticket. And it is, I know we discussed on the episode we did with you all, it's our escapism. I would say it's one of our most major escapisms. I don't know if that's a fucking word. I just made it one. Stop it, Dory.
Friqueando. Checa.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But you're right, because, you know, when we're trying to get in there, and when it's so many people to represent, but on the flip side, the controlling powers don't necessarily care about that.
Right.
And we're trying to get our foot in the door in terms of representation. We have to make sure that the people that are in control have the buy-in. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do we maneuver that to make sure that we get in there?
Right.
And that's a tough...
just your stereotype bullshit or just your white Latinos or whatever, because it's that same thing also where I'm like, if you get fresh young voices in a writer's room, y'all shows would be a lot more successful, guaranteed. But they're not. Like, right. Now, I've seen...
a mixture.
I've seen some people more recently, but like for the past few shows that have kind of tried to be successful, the reason I think Jane the Virgin was so successful is because it felt relevant. They were doing text messages, they were doing all these funny, cool things that we could relate to now.
Isn't that fucked up?
Whereas something like for me, like I know y'all like Cristela a lot. I didn't like it. I couldn't even get through it. I was cringing because it felt outdated.
Like, and I think that, you know, that white money is like, that's why we feel like this is a dice game.
Right.
Because we don't know whether, you know.
Plus, Christa they're not Labert- really trying to look into us and actively find your writers right. that are and into it and have and, innovative new ideas.
And the spectrum is like, it's when you look at it, it's so like it. There's no way that you're going to appease to the what you might be looking for as a target demo.
Right.
With one particular show versus the next one. Because we are everything. It's so much more diverse in our community
than even discussed.
Yeah.
Well, we're having
I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry.
The thing about Vida, though, is like that I actually found out like today is that the normal process is when somebody writes a pilot, they shop it to some networks, and like the showrunner is usually the creator of that pilot, or somebody buys that pilot or whatever. But this was a completely different process. Not only was it done within like 12 weeks, casting and writing included, it also wasn't Tania Saracho's like pilot. Like somebody came to her and was like,
she was on NPR.
They're like, make a show about gentrification, so basically Latinos against Latinos, and make it about chipsters. They're like, that's what they wanted to focus on.
They wanted
about
to
what?
They wanted to aim the, like, the
Chicano
demographic.
Chicano hipsters.
Chipsters. I've never heard that.
Chicano hipsters and gentrification, which is like gentrification from our
straight out of LA. Straight out of LA.
That's what their purpose was. This is like the network went to her. So it was by the network, most likely white people went to her and were like, create a show basically pitting like some Latinos against other Latinos. Yeah. And though I'm not saying like identification and chipsterness is obviously it's a real thing, but I'm like, fucking, they just fucking chop around for a pilot.
Kind of a lame thing.
I'm sure somebody has a pilot out there that will fit that whatever token that you want to throw on your network.
No, Starz literally said, we need to make a show about millennial Latinas. We need the demographic. Go make it. That's what they said.
But then they also specifically named those terms. That's where I'm like,
it's for the first
season. Only six episodes long.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're already at four. There's two more left.
But even that speaks to, like, you know, it speaks to the scope of what we are up against.
Yeah.
We are given.
Yeah,
they gave us they gave her parameters. You know what I mean? Like, that's fucked to me. Like,
you're already setting us up for failure, and we're trying to combat that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Again, when we discuss these things, it's not to shit on these things. It's literally because we have to discuss these things to evolve and not to just accept whatever we're given. So thank you for sharing some of your thoughts. And no, that's good. That's what we want to do. Yes, Pat.
The only thing I'm thinking about is The Charmed, the new series. Charmed with the...
So we discussed it initially when we first heard about it, because it was supposed to be about Afro-Latinas, right? Or something like that.
So there's only... there's one Afro-Latina. Mm-hmm. They finally premiered the trailer for it this week.
Yeah.
The trailer came out. So then I was hearing some feedback from the original people that were saying, like, no, if you're gonna like shit on our name, then that doesn't even make it an ode to the original show, which is very true. And I hate it because then it like has an attachment to Latinidad, right? Like, we barely have anything, but then you're doing that to what we barely have already. And
it feels like tokenism is what it feels
right.
like.
And I think it could be something really cool, but at the same time, if you're doing something like Brujeria, that's like very serious. Like, that shit's not to be played with. And
do your damn research.
Have you seen the trailer,
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
They're not really focusing on brujeria. It looks like white.
It literally looks like Charmed, but with
Latina girls. Yeah, that's it. It's not brujeria. Okay. At all.
I saw that on like Twitter where someone was like, "That could be mad disrespectful."
There's
or something.
A different show that's being shot.
Is that something else?
It
I'm talking
hasn't
about?
Been like greenlit or anything, but they're like, yeah, they're working on like developing another show about that. But it's not Charmed per se. Charmed is literally just Charmed, but you make it brown and a little bit queer.
That's all they did. It's pretty whitewashed.
I have high hopes for it. Okay, like I think that probably the first episode is gonna suck.
Is the showrunner for Jane the Virgin doing it?
She's
the white girl.
The white lady. I don't know her name.
Her name isn't Jane.
Something with a J.
Wait, if her name was Jane, is she writing Jane
Virginia,
the Virgin?
Jane Virginia. That's who it is. Yeah.
Jane Virginia. Jennifer or something like that.
So I also just,
Virginia Williams.
Any other big media
for me push?
Yeah.
Bruh, I thought it, but you said it. Okay. Any other pieces of media you want to discuss as we wrap up?
Jenny.
Yeah. What's her name?
Jenny Ehrman. Dietland, I'm really excited for.
Dietland
is going to star a big woman.
Yeah.
She's white, but like she's pretty cool. I read the book recently and the book was absolutely amazing. I think they're going to change up the show a lot because it's, you know, going to be an ongoing series. But I have really high hopes. It's very feminist. It's even a little bit queer in the book. Mm. And it's about like super round girl positivity. You know what I mean? Like they're really going the next
what
level.
What is that? No, I'm just kidding.
It's like, I don't know. It's just so important to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because like, for me, growing up big or whatever, like I had so many like negative feelings about myself.
That's a whole nother episode.
And like reading that book was basically like reading the character that is unlearning all that. And it was just beautiful. So I hope that they
I
do.
I need to read it.
You have to.
I will.
Immediately.
I'm still like reading Roxane Gay and other things. Have you read Roxane Gay?
I haven't.
You gotta read Roxane Gay. She's like queen.
Nonfiction.
Well. I just turned my head to her. I'm just kidding. Anything else you want to share? Any other media pieces?
Fuck. I watch so much stuff now. It all becomes. Oh yeah, Pose.
Aww,
by Ryan Murphy.
Yeah,
all those queer and trans like voices. It comes out. Well, this is
it came out already.
It's already out. It came out during Pride Month, and this is the only time that I'm going to be okay with Ryan Murphy doing a thing.
Oh my goodness,
he's taking the back seat on this. Allegedly.
Thank you. Sit down, white man. Thank you.
But that he y'all need to do an episode
and trans
on him.
And black, we and did. We did.
Okay, so sorry. Wow, I hate me too.
We dragged him. It's fine.
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. We went in with different. I went in with a lot of hate. And then I was like, you know, he's okay. I don't hate him.
Because I still feel like he still provides a lot of very important
Pose is
roles.
Amazing.
We talked about that. About Pose on our episode that we recorded today. But yeah.
How exciting.
In the past.
It's casted like 150 trans people.
Wow.
Already.
And trans black women.
And
trans
writers. Directors. Like,
yes.
Everything.
That's everyone's amazing. Brown. Everyone's black. Everyone's trans. Everyone's queer.
That's really
can
dope.
Can you believe?
Can you believe? Yes, Jonathan. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Happy Pride if this comes out during Pride.
Hopefully it will. That's maybe. The plan. And we plan on doing our art show and everything. So this is opening up our queer season, I guess.
Queer season forever.
It's 2018.
2018
so this whole year.
Blessed us.
Oh my God, I'm dead.
In case you don't know.
So I also wanted to wish you all a recent happy 1 year.
Thank
to your
you.
Lovely CYC podcast.
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you have future goals for the show? And for yourselves.
Yeah. I mean, we want to always get bigger and reach more people and have more queer people find us. Like,
for me, it was what I mentioned earlier. Like, mm-hmm. I really want to become, like, a source to certain people who are, like, you know, especially, like, non-marginalized people who are mm-hmm. out there and have a lot of power in the media. Like, listen to us and listen to what we're saying, and then maybe you'll
understand.
We're
not always just talking shit.
We're not all. Oh, we are. We're talking about. We're constructive shit.
Constructive criticism.
It's not even shit. Oh, it's what they need to hear that they're not listening to, and we call it that, and we humble it because we're so used to feeling like we're critical and harsh. When no, it's what the fuck they need to be hearing.
We're angry brown women right. and angry lesbians.
Right.
So yeah, that's what I hope is that people will like empower, will listen and take from it, and then hire me.
Yeah, same, honestly.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to young people like you as we wrap up the interview?
No pressure.
Use the media. I mean, like, a lot of people have said, like, one day at a time, they sit there and watch it with their moms, and, like, maybe they'll understand it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I know, not just you, Cynthia, but, like...
I watch it with my mom.
I told you to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, that'll, like, show them, like, this experience step by step, episode by episode. Like, use the media in your favor, like, to help open your family's eyes if you need to, you know? Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
That's true.
Take your time.
Cynthia?
Don't sacrifice yourself to make other people happy.
Mm.
Find your own happiness and live in that.
Damn, I'm shit. Hit me right in the chest. That's beautiful. All right. Well, thank you both so much for being here. I will be wrapping up this little chicken nugget, a.k.a. the cocotazo. We are very glad that y'all were able to come back and be with us. I am so grateful for y'all's presence. I am tired of Pat and Cynthia right now. Oh my God, I want to die. Okay, so I can't even wrap up the show, but I really am thankful for y'all's work, and I know that the I'm over y'all. Are y'all done? Okay. Y'all want to get a room?
Friendship to continue because.
We do want a room. We're in one.
Okay, so what I'm getting at is that I'm grateful for your work, and I wish you all the best because it's very important and necessary, and I think you both provide a special narrative that is vital to our progression as people and as a podcasterio community and as a Latinx community and beyond. Especially, I always get so happy because Maite will talk about her light privilege and her colored eyes, because they talk about colorism a lot, and just your hood reality you talk about. Do we want to play the gunshot game as we end the show?
Oh, I'd have to find gunshot different calibers. Sounds.
Okay,
but
maybe we'll save it for next time.
50 cal is a really scary triggering sound for me.
I got a 45 in the truck if you want to.
All right, yeah. Shout out Texas.
I already told you what
Shout out
was.
Texas. You already told me it was a 45.
Oh, we can't.
Oh, my God. So thank you so much both for being here. Thank you for your work. Where can we find you?
At CYC Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, facebook.com/CYC Pod.
Or you can just Google Cabronas y Chingonas también.
Oh, you can just go to cabronasychingonas.com.
Yeah. And what about your personal stuff?
Everywhere.
Yeah, you can. I'm sorry.
Plug your personal.
Yeah, sure.
If you want to.
Sure. My personal Twitter is MYTE Panda.
My personal Twitter is at Fried Papita, and I tweet all day.
Yeah, same, honestly. Well, thank you both for being. Did I say that wrong?
Beer.
Yes.
Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
We are very grateful to know you all and to be part of the same Podcasterio network community with you all. I look forward to all your future success. And Rafa, do you have anything to wrap up our De Cocotazo, our second De Cocotazo with one of our favorite podcasts?
I don't. This is really dope. I feel complete now that, Maite has rejoined us here in Dallas.
Ooh!
Even if just for a quick minute.
Same.
Ya se fue.
No! Don't let her leave. We're sad again.
Oh my God.
We all have a crush on Maite. Yay. Okay, so we are wrapping up the episode. Hope you enjoyed our very second De Cocotazo.
Very second.
Very second.
There ain't no second like this one.
I finished my cup of wine and now I don't know what I'm saying. But thank you, as always, for listening to The Colores Radio. You can find us at The Colores Co. Email us if you have anything you want to share with us at thecolorescollective@gmail.com. Follow us. We love you. Have a good night, folks.
The Colores Radio.